From legendary locals we all know to people you should get to know. Follow Ipswich Today on your favourite app and never miss an episode. Or go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Coming up, the Mayor's Year in Review, new leases for tennis sheds and a community centre, the old Ministry of Food set to transform into an arts hub, what to do with the old woolen mills, and the battle over bad smells at Swanbank continues. Mayor Theresa Harding joins the show to wrap up the council year following the December meeting of Ipswich City Council. It's Monday, December 11, 2023, and I'm Alan Roebuck. Welcome to Ipswich Today, which acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which it is produced and pays respects to elders past, present and emerging. This podcast is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. Thank you for speaking with Ipswich Today, Mayor Harding.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on.
The last meeting of the year, the home run to Christmas, and you opened the meeting with a year in review highlights. What were the highlights for you personally?
I think I sort of talked about some of the personal things, being able to have a resolution for the people of My High Grove, you know, who so we worked very closely with the state government and the federal government to make sure those 42 families, you know, would have a buyback as part of the voluntary buyback scheme. And it's a townhouse development. The work we did certainly with Faye Kennedy on Deirdre Kennedy's memorial, I think was a big thing, but also what we've been doing with waste. It's been such a big issue for our city for so long, and the progress that we're making and hopefully continue we'll make is something that I think that we should be really proud of.
We'll come to the waste issue a little further into our chat, but when the meeting got underway proper, there were lots of discussions about various leases that council has with community organisations. Let's talk about the Queen's Park Tennis one first. Why does it firstly have to come to council to decide a lease?
Yep, under the Land Act of 1994, council is a trustee and must only authorise the use of a trust land by third parties through a trustee lease or a trustee permit, and it doesn't permit renewal options. So that means it does have to come to council in accordance with the local government regulations of 2012. So those type of things will always come to council, I think, just to be very open and public.
Well, that's interesting, because I was wondering why there was only a 10-year lease with in the documentation, no option to extend, but that's part of the Act, because tennis has been there since about 1934.
It has.
One of several parcels of land that were sort of snipped from the edges of Queen's Park.
Yeah.
Does council have any plans to sort of take back some of that land that's been taken over the years, or is it status quo?
Look, and you're right, look, Section 61 of the Land Act doesn't allow for options to renew over trust land. The tennis association have a great business plan. Unfortunately, it was a confidential document. They have a really good plan to grow players, to grow volunteers. It's been a very successful club. So look, we'll still keep working with them, and they're hoping to secure significant funding as well to allow that expansion.
And it is probably one of the most beautiful spots in Ipswich to play
it is.
Tennis.
It's lovely, isn't it? They're so popular. They've got so many events on and so many people that come along, and something for all ages.
Talking about more leases, and a couple of decisions have been kicked down the road to next year, and I could see you weren't happy in the meeting as you weren't consulted prior to that meeting. Has this now been sorted?
Yeah, so we'll look at the Rosewood Green Shed as well as the Rosewood Community Centre and the Marburg Red Shed. Certainly there'd been no consultation by council officers with myself, and I made that clear, and so I asked for those to be, you know, I guess you said kicked down to January. You know, I think the people who expect that their elected representatives would be across things, anything to do with you know, our community groups who are very active and to provide a great service. So we really want to make sure that they are consulted, that they're not just being given a lease or a permit that they're not happy with. So I hope the organisation has heard, and they'll make sure that they'll consult myself, and they are starting to do that now.
Moving across to Darcy Doyle Place and the old Jamie's Kitchen premises, which is a council-owned building. A lot of people may not know that, but you've earmarked it to become an arts hub. So what exactly does council want to see there?
Look, Councillor Andrew Fichtner and Marnie Doyle submitted a notice of motion back in October for us to have an arts hub, that's a bit of a missing piece in our CBD. And we think that the Ministry of Food area there would be a great wet space. So artists could either book it or be there to actually do their work. And I think that would be a great centrepiece of the hub. And we're also wanting to leverage the space up at Fire Station 101 as well for exhibition and other things like that as well. So, look, I know that longer term we are looking at the Ipswich Woolen Mills, but we do know that's probably at least $15 or $20 million worth of work there. And in reality too, we really need to scale up. So let's start off, let's start doing these things, and then let's scale up and grow.
Talking of the old woolen mills at North Ipswich there, council acquired that site some time ago, I believe on the whim of a political thought bubble at the time, and nothing has really happened. Is the building worth saving?
Yeah, it is a heritage building, so it does need to be saved.
Okay.
So part of the issue is the asbestos there, the condition of the building, but also the ground and the soil itself is toxic and hazardous just from all those years of being a woolen mill with the dyes and the chemicals that were used there. So, look, council did acquire it for $1.2 million back in 2015. And back in 2018, the interim administrator said it cost at least $10 million just to repair and remediate the building. So, look, at the time, the council did spend $1 million to restore some of the work. And so basically some work just went into fixing up one of the parts of the building that was sort of falling apart. So it's sort of basically we're doing our best just to make sure that it is secure, it won't burn down, and just making sure that, you know, we're doing what we can as part of the heritage building maintenance plan. Even if the discussion we've had with many artists, that even if it was, you know, tomorrow, here's a great arts hub, you wouldn't be able to fill it straight away. So we're really keen to do the arts hub in Darcy Doyle Place, use it as a wet space and grow and expand and scale up.
Late November, you had the committee round for the December council meeting. Back then, you spoke about the smells emanating from the Swan Bank industrial area. Since then, the state government's issued an order. What is this order and what will it mean for residents?
Yeah, look, there's obviously a range of actions underway by Ipswich City Council and also the state government. And look, they are legal matters, so I won't go into specifics, but I think we have a shared objective. We want the waste industry operators to comply with their regulatory approvals. We need to make sure they are compliant with their town planning approvals as well as their environmental approvals as well. So we can see now that the stink is so bad in so many suburbs, there's obviously non-compliance from an environmental perspective. So I'm quite delighted that the state government have stepped up and issued this restraining order. And I really hope that the courts will hear them out properly when it comes back to court and will grant that application.
One of the major operators at Swan Bank is Newgrow. They've publicly invited you and Minister Linnard to a meeting in a letter they published mid-November. Has this been set up yet?
No, I received the letter mid-16th of November, and I've contacted Minister Linnard's office to work out a time that we could sit down together. I've obviously had a meeting previously to that with Minister Linnard to discuss Newgrow and other waste operators. I found the letter to be an interesting letter, Alan. There was no responsibility at all taken. It was a letter by blaming everyone else for the fact that they're not complying. So, again, I just asked the waste operators to comply with their environmental authority as they're supposed to under the law.
There was one part of that letter, Mayor Harding. Newgrow said they want to improve the situation and they say delays by council delays their ability to improve the situation.
Well, I would say that's false. It's quite clear that they're not following the law. We're in court for two matters. One of them is a development application that we've knocked back. We've had pre-lodgement meetings and presentations actually from Newgrow in doing invested composting, which means the composting would happen in an enclosed building. And all the structures they showed us during that presentation and during pre-lodgement were concrete, proper structures. And when the DA did come to council, instead it was just a Gore-Tex or a textile fibre. They just want to put a textile fibre across the composting. And so it went to council and we did reject it, and that's in court at the moment. So to me, they did make a commitment that they would have a properly enclosed composting facility, and that's not coming forward. And that's what we need because they're clearly not being able to manage the odours now.
Elsewhere in December's council meeting, there was discussion about resource recovery. Riverview is still getting money spent on it. which came as a bit of a surprise to me because you've got a new site earmarked on Redbank Plains Road. What is council getting for $3.8 million it wants to spend at Riverview?
So we still need to – we have to fix the plane while we're flying it, Alan. So as part of fixing the plane is that we're making sure that the Riverview is very small. We grew out of it many years ago. So we'll be improving some of the areas such as around the hard stand and the different areas where it takes in waste as well, so we can increase the capacity there. And at the same time, obviously, ploughing ahead with building a new resource recovery centre down the Swanbeck-Newcham area.
Ripley Road and Fisher Roads are due for upgrades, and I'm sure that will give many residents a lot of joy given the massive growth that's happening in the Ripley Valley. Do you have a timeline for tenders and construction yet?
Look, Council currently has a draft infrastructure agreement that's being coordinated and negotiated with the Economic Development Queensland, who have the responsibility for all the development in the Ripley Valley. That infrastructure agreement sets out the terms of the potential funding from the state that'll allow that. So, look, I guess the part that Council's responsible for, we've gone out for the detailed design and construction on the Cunningham-Monterey area to begin in 2025. So, yeah, we've still got a way to go. But what is really important is that we do really need Economic Development Queensland or the state government to provide that funding for the Ripley Road and Fisher Road upgrades.
Let's finish our last chat for the year in a festive mood. It is almost Christmas. The Christmas lights are well and truly out and about. And if I'm not mistaken, it feels like there's actually more participants this year across the city.
Before I get to the best streets, I need to tell you about the huge success of the St. Nicholas Precinct. Over the last three nights, over Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, we had over 11,600 people come to the St. Nicholas Precinct. So it's really great. And we can see that people do love Christmas lights out in their suburbs too. We had Paul Tully Avenue in Collingwood Park and Mahogany Street in Raceview take out the top awards. And really great to see our community continue to get into the Christmas light game spirits.
Enjoy your Christmas, Mayor Hardy, until we catch up in the new year. Enjoy your holidays and talk to you in January.
Thank you. Have a Merry Christmas too, Alan.
And a quick reminder to look for those handy links in the show notes. Ipswich Today is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. This podcast is listener supported. Please make a once-only gift or regular donation to help keep it online. Just go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Follow and stream this podcast from your favourite app, including iHeartRadio, or play Ipswich Today on smart speakers. Music is supplied by Purple Planet Music. This is Alan Roebuck. Thank you for listening. Enjoying Ipswich Today? Please share the love on your socials.